and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, everybody. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. It gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Do it now. Do it for Mama.
I wonder if you could use it to back up an iPad.
Yeah, actually, you could.
I know. It's hump days with Hal, and he has another woman. His new iPad is his new love.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The hump days.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Yeah.
How is your slut iPad that you are more in love with than you were ever in love with me?
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her slut!
She's only for light days, you know. I'm the real thing.
Oh, that's sure. leave her alone.
You won't understand.
Ours is a love that dare not speak its name. I couldn't be more excited, quite frankly. I thought it would be kind of a fun toy, and now it's literally changed the way I compute, as it were. And
see, I'm like one of those guys, I don't even know what movie I'm thinking of, it just keeps going, what is it? But what is that? What do it do?
It's like a computer with all the crap removed. It's right in between your laptop and your phone in all those areas where you're like, why am I typing on my phone like this? And why am I watching? Why is my computer getting crushed by the guy in the seat in front of me on the plane when he puts the seat back?
But do you have to buy a stand for it? Because
No, the little case that you can get for it folds two different ways to hold it open so that you can lean it at an angle or you can sit it up to watch it. It's
really
pretty sweet.
You can prop her up suggestively at an angle that works for you.
If you only knew.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. HowSparks.com has got that fancy video streaming.
It's true. And better than ever.
The man meet in the L.A. studio.
Oh, you have no idea. Today it's great. I'm very excited. And it's not good just because I can control the whole thing with my iPad from a distance.
Oh, boy. Oh.
No way.
Yeah, totally way.
You're doing it with your iPad instead of your computer?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm doing it with my computer, but I can control the iPad and the chat and everything.
You should see him. He's got like a whole control room in here when he does this.
Oh, it's great.
Now, does it hold your awful metal music that you play when you fill in for me?
Yeah, lots of it, actually. and the harder stuff that I play on your kind of light FM, light, you know, golden oldies ready thing that you do.
The little
whatever Christopher Cross
you see,
world
the
you
newer
live in.
Younger thing comes along, Chris, and you see what happens.
So
there
fickle.
We go with the old jokes, the old light FM music jokes.
Look, you attack the music and I get very defensive.
Well, Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, U.S. Special Forces are Hal Sparks Hal Sparks unlistenable metal music like Metallica and The Offspring, whatever, to annoy the Taliban.
Yes.
According to one sergeant, the Taliban hates that music. Who doesn't? Julie Seattle.
Aww.
By the way, my Republican mutant brother's favorite band is Metallica. Ye gads. Ugh. Julie in Seattle with a little boy music.
Yeah. This is true.
Blah.
Yeah, you don't mind when we're all boy stuff going on, you know, but you don't like how we get that way.
Yeah. What kind of eighth grade taunt was that? Yeah, you like boy stuff when
boo,
I
stupid.
Kissed you in the coat press.
Yeah, didn't mind that. Now you're all mad and stuff.
By the way, with the Masters starting, can I just say I have a personal experience?
Excuse me?
That men are pigs, generally speaking.
I beg your pardon.
Present company.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
In what way?
I can't. It's a lot of things I can't talk about. I'd have to kill everybody. I just married men.
You lobbed another hand grenade and then ran.
Did someone hit on you at the Masters when you were there?
Yes, a married guy. That I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, you're married. No.
Do you not realize that this is why they include golf in every single Viagra ad that they run?
Yes.
That, you know, like, please, can we recognize for one moment Tiger Woods did not lose a single patron as soon as people went, wait, you can play golf and get laid? I'm amazed. I like it even better now.
Oh, boy. All right. By the by, Mama will be on MSN's NBC today at, what is it, 3:30 Eastern. Oh, boy. Guess what, Chris? I'm on the formerly known as David Schuster show.
Yeah. He's in a little bit of a...
He's in the doghouse.
He's a little bit of a pickle. Yeah. You know I love me some David Schuster.
We all do. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Love him. He got suspended by MSNBC reportedly because he taped a pilot for CNN.
Which,
you know, that's my number one question is why haven't I been taping that pilot for CNN? Where I got to call David Schuster and say, what is in this for me?
Well, wasn't it CNN that actually said no more radio hosts? Or was it?
But then they hired Eric Erickson.
Yes, right. But then I'm on every other day, right. I know.
Yeah. Maybe you have to be psychotic and threaten people with violence. That's the thing
just
you're missing.
Like Eric Erickson.
You're
just,
yeah. Yeah. You're too
the
cute
Red State
funny.
Blogger.
Mm-hmm. But he has a radio show called The Red State Radio Show.
Oh, I bet you that's a
He's a talk show host, too.
Anyway, Ed Schultz, my buddy, my pal, will be filling in for David Schuster today. So I will be on the, I don't know what it's called now. I'll just be on MSNBC at 3:30 today. 3:45, something like that. Eastern time, everybody. Right. Have you noticed, Chris, because everything revolves around me, that I only give Eastern times now?
Yeah, I've noticed.
That's the time
right.
zone I'm in. So, you know. All right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. All right. Hal Sparks,
yes.
We have something, speaking of the things happening, exciting things in the Eastern time zone, we have something very exciting to announce, don't we?
This is true. I'm
magical.
I'm very excited.
I hate to say that John Fugelsang and I already cheated on you and announced it, but today it's up on the website, right, Chris?
Yes, it is, and I tweeted about it yesterday, and they already sold like a scat of tickets from that. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
They're going quickly already. April 17th here in New York City, it is Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Look out.
At the WNYC Green Space Theater here in New York City, it's going to be taped for television, I understand. So,
is there
going to
be sexy time on the show?
You bet.
We don't know yet.
Oh,
it's a three-way. It's a comedy three-way between me and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Awkward.
And we are, so you can go to StephanieMiller.com now, right?
Yes.
What does it say? What's the thing?
There's a banner ad. I mean, you're blind if you miss it.
Yeah.
And okay.
I think you'll be doing all the work, quite frankly.
If you are or can be in New York City, April, it's a very small theater. So it's a very select part of Steph history that you'll be a part of.
This is quite
true. What is it, only like 100 seats or something, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, it is. That is correct.
Yes. All right. Check it out. Buy some tickets. And
you can
be there for the three-way.
Is this like one of those MTV Unplugged things where they have a really small audience and it's very intimate?
It's so cool.
And,
it's cooler than the iPad.
All right.
It's so cool.
She's going to be dressed like Stevie Nicks in drapey black clothing. And we're going to put down an area rug.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have music and stuff. Aren't we? I'm going to... Yeah.
Take it down. That's it. You have not lived till you've seen Steph do her Stevie Nicks numbers.
No, there'll be there'll be comedy, there'll be a panel, there'll be some music, and I think I'll do a tambourine or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be
music.
Like, because I'm like Aaron from the Partridge Family. I have no other skills. I just am going to stand in the corner with a tambourine.
This is true.
I don't think
while Hal and
Aaron.
John be sexy and liberal and funny, I'll just be there.
Her name was not Aaron. Oh God, what was it?
Oh, you know what I mean. Come on. I don't know.
Oh. I wasn't old enough, so I don't care. Ha, ha, ha. I was busy listening to heavy metal music. Ha, ha, ha.
All right, great New York story I see in the fun stack today, Chris.
Yes.
Because I got pizza last night from Ray's, you know.
Ray's?
Was one of my seldom P90X deviations last night.
What's Ray's?
Ray's Pizza. Ray's Original.
Ray's Pizza.
There's like a billion of them.
I've never heard of it.
It's like a billion of them. Boy. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bring a billion of them.
All right.
See, this is a New York pizza guy. A New York pizza delivery man managed to fend off a gunman while trying to make off with his pies, and he delivered them to his customers. That's right.
That's
what I remember the other day. I was late because there was some sort of melee in Times Square, stabbings, and I was like, oh, okay, we better take 9th then. It's really all you think of in New York. Just, oh, okay.
You've kind of given up on taking the subway to work, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, I can tell.
One man pointed a gun at the delivery man, told him to leave the pizza. When he put the pies down and the gunman bent over to get them, he shoved the gunman. He then, escorted by police, delivered his pizza, one pepperoni, one cheese, still hot. Yeah, Rude Pundit told a story the other day, Chris. There was a woman, when he was leaving my party, that was bleeding on the street.
Really?
Yes.
Mercy. Oh,
and
that's
he,
right. Yeah.
He stopped to help her, meaning, he stood on her so that he would be higher in flagging a cab down.
He actually got blood on himself.
No, he helped her.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
He wasn't rude. Very...
Exactly. All right. Oh, speaking of New York, Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world from the New York Times, coming up in less than half an hour to talk about his latest best column ever and why he ditched my Easter party last weekend.
Son of a... These people think they can get away with that.
So it's basically you, John Fugelsang, and the Rude Pundit just tossing around a balloon.
Yes, that was pretty much it. It was my sad, sad little costume.
Sounds like
party.
Fun.
All right. And also, Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal from Media Matters, will co-host Right Wing World next hour. Kelly in Minneapolis. Oh, no. Palin and Bachman are downtown today?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
and
boy.
We have a little the sane versus the insane. And
yeah.
We're going to be down there, hopefully, representing the sane, and there will be a few people there to see them, called the insane.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's a great thing to do.
They will be there plugging their website, hotrepublicanchickswithnoclue.com.
Exactly.
Is it me? I mean, I mean to. I'm just saying, there isn't. Don't they give Republican women a bad name? I mean, seriously. Crazy, dumbest stumps.
Honest to God. No, but it's a great time. It's a beautiful day in Minneapolis, and we're going to be there. Where are you going to be?
I'm well, I only wish that we were there. You know, that's going to be a think tank, isn't it, Hal?
Oh, yeah, right.
That is a symposium there.
I actually think it's almost like the Guinness Book people should be there or something. Like, this might be the lowest IQ, like, point. And you know what I mean? This is kind of like if it was the sea, you would see all kinds of new fish. You know what I mean? Right? It would be. No, I can't believe they can eat with mouths like that. You know.
It's a moment you will want to freeze in time. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Swallow.
Excuse me?
Swallow. I see you eating over there.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Aaron and Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Mooks. Hi, Hal. How are we doing this morning?
I'm spectacular.
Yes, good. Just wanted to make a comment about Eric Erickson. When in his quote,
so nice they named him twice.
Yeah, no kidding. In his quote, he said he was talking about how he was going to reach for his wife's shotgun. Kind of points to how gutless and spineless he really is as a Republican, I would guess.
That he doesn't own his own shotgun?
Yeah,
he's the one that said he would. Some mention of guns if a census worker comes to his house.
Yeah, if a census worker came to his house, he would get out his wife's shotgun and really scare him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't he a man then?
If I reach for my wife's shotgun, you know, I'm reaching for a broom handle, basically. And also, I wanted to make a comment to Hal about a music suggestion. You guys were talking about metal.
Yeah.
You probably are already fully aware of these guys, but Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, of course. Yeah. My ex-girlfriend loved them, and I used to jokingly refer to them as you know, chlamydia and claptrap or whatever. I would constantly act like I didn't know the name and mess it up on purpose. But I like Coheed and Cambria. They're like Rush. And, yeah, but on speed. It's really, it's good time.
Oh,
yeah.
Phenomenal.
Smart.
Phenomenal. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller, keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for calling Boy Talk. All right.
Don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, what kind of man does that take to threaten this? It's just these right-wingers with this fake machismo. Isn't it kill you, Hal?
Right.
It's like, yeah,
well,
my wife's shotgun. The census worker comes on my porch.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have this guy.
Yeah. Never pass up an opportunity to be misogynistic about it, too, because
right.
the idea is
right.
you're weak, and because you work for the census, probably gay and effete and lame
French.
And Eastern
French.
And whatever.
You're probably doing a French census,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. So I'll get my wife's shotgun to shoot you because, it's
well,
a girly
how about,
thing.
You know, once again, a case of this right-wing rhetoric leading to an actual threat or actual violence. A Washington State man was charged for threatening to kill Senator Patty Murray.
Yeah.
Democrat of Washington, the latest incident in the string of threats against members of Congress. You remember, that was at the town, her town hall, was some woman that yelled out, I'd like to lynch Patty Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what I'm saying. With the right-wing radio hosts out there and the Fox News, it's like this kind of rhetoric's okay, I guess.
Oh, they're fine with it. Yeah, no question.
The day this guy, what's his name, Charles Allen Wilson, the day President Obama signed the bill into law, he allegedly said, "I hope somebody kills you and I hope somebody kills the president. Yes, die, dead." Not only do I say kill the bill, kill the senator.
Oh, my God.
As one might imagine, that sort of caught the attention of federal authorities.
Yes, as well it should, one would hope.
Well, yes.
And also, CNN probably needs to rethink their hiring of Eric Erickson as a paid contributor.
Yes, yeah. There might be some better suggestions.
I think so.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that.
yes, you are.
Oh, by the way, this guy that's threatened Patty Murray, he describes himself as a senior citizen on Social Security and Medicare. He's, you know, that kind of anti-government guy.
Public,
you know, he's an anti-government guy.
Yeah,
right. Because whenever his check is late, that's when he gets very anti-government.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of false machismo, by the way, yesterday in Right Wing World, how we played Rush Limbaugh taunting the president for he looked like a girl out there throwing the first pitch out.
Mm-hmm.
Fran in Maryland writes, as for Limbaugh's sexist comment about the president's throw, I'd like to see Rush try to catch a pitch from one of our Olympic women's softball players.
Oof. Oh, my friends.
Is he
Oh, at least that temporarily collapsed my stomach so I could see my for the first time in years.
Wow.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh commenting on someone else's athletic prowess.
Yeah.
If only the president could have his athleticism and muscle tone.
You know what? Obama looked better than Bush throwing out the first pitch.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It was high and outside, but it actually made it to the glove.
Yeah. Didn't Bush's throw like hit the ground before it hit
it bounced.
The plate? Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got a drawl, so he's a man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. That's a good point.
Then he got at prep school in Connecticut.
Right.
Derek in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Hal's Awful Music. Hello, Derek.
How did that be?
Thanks for having me on, Stephanie. I just want to say first thing first, I love you. And
I love you.
Whenever you're tired of having that one guy trying to kill you for the insurance money, I will gladly take over.
Why, thank you. Thank you. I need a new man that wants to kill me. Thank you.
But anyways, with Hal's Boy Music, the artists like Metallica and things like that, they base their music off of symphonies like Mozart and Chopin.
Yeah.
Really? Well, that's quite a horrible mangling of classical music,
with
in my opinion.
Electric style.
Right.
But
she's never heard a Metallica song in her life. Ever.
Yes, I have.
Not
it all
one.
Sounds the same.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's exactly
not
how
a
it
one.
Sounds.
Not a never. Not a one. All right.
29 minutes after the hour, back with the best columnist in the world, Frank Rich of the New York Times.
This is
next
true.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Guess who called me?
The Boob Job Recall Center?
No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, much like Susan Boyle, I dreamed a dream once. I dreamed a dream that I would move to New York and the opinion page of the New York Times would pop into my living room in person. I would sit around having witty repartee with people like Frank Rich until I actually called Frank Rich and invited him to my party. And he goes, but maybe he'll call on the phone sometime. You never know.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God, it must be him. It must be him.
Good morning, Frank Rich.
Good morning. I now feel like a complete jerk.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
I wasn't in town. I wasn't in our new shared city. But another time, I hope. It's great to talk to you on the phone for now.
I know. No, you wrote a very nice note back. So it was like a partial dream come true.
This is that crazy spring period in New York when no one stays in town. You're about to learn. But,
yes. Well, I apparently other people
summer, but
other
anyway.
People get invited places. I wouldn't know. But anyway.
No. We're self-removing, self-vacating.
Well, you know, I was sitting around this Sunday, as I normally do, thinking, you know, this is the best column ever. And there it is. Frank Rich. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Obama. Just really a great piece, I thought, about...
Thank you.
You write, not since Clark Kent changed in the phone booth has there been an instant image makeover to match Barack Obama's in the aftermath of his health care victory. What a difference winning makes, especially in America. Whatever did or didn't get into Obama's Wheaties, this much is certain. No one is talking about the cloud of Scott Brown or Rahm Emanuel anymore. But has the man really changed, or is it just us? And, you know, that is a great question.
And well, thank you. And I think I sort of, I mean, the answer... You know, all answers have to be tentative, but one of the most interesting things is if you go back and look at the campaign, not the audience response to him, not the voters' response, but to what he was actually saying, much of what he's doing now, he said then. And
yeah,
so,
I say that all the time, Frank, that I'm going, and you make that point, that he ran as a bipartisan centrist. There is nothing, you know, that really should shock us, right?
Exactly. Even the policy on reversing, you know, oil exploration or oil drilling in certain areas was something he was talking about in the summer before the election of November 08. He promised to escalate the or maybe not use that word, but he promised to be very strong in Afghanistan.
Right, finish the job, right?
And you know, the one thing that has slightly changed is that at least the past few weeks since the healthcare vote, he seems to be moving a bit more swiftly, you know, running over to see Karzai, slapping around Netanyahu a bit.
Right.
There's been, you know, a certain
the recess appointments, right.
Right, exactly, the recess appointments. But I don't know if that's lasting. He seems to be a sort of slow and steady wins the race, or so he hopes, kind of guy.
Right. I mean, you quote, you know, the Chicago Tribune writer who says he's a Rorschach test. What you see is what you want to see. And I love, you know, the way you break it down. You say, depending on where you stand on any or the given day, he's either an over-intellectual professorial wuss or a ruthless Chicago machine Paul rivaling the original Boss Daily. He's either a socialist redistributing wealth to the undeserving poor or a tool of Wall Street's Goldman Sachs elite. He's a lightweight celebrity who's clueless without a teleprompter or a Machiavellian mastermind who has ingeniously forged his Hawaiian birth certificate, covered up his ties to Islamic radicals, and bamboozled the entire mainstream press.
Wow.
He's the reincarnation of JFK, LBJ, FDR, Reagan, Hitler, Stalin, Adlai Stevenson, or Nelson Mandela. And then my favorite line, funny how few people compare George Bush to anyone but Hitler.
And his parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, it is this Rorschach test line that you quote was written by a writer of the Chicago Tribune, Don Terry, was written in 2004 before he was even in the Senate, and before Obama was even in the Senate. And I think... It speaks somewhat to his odd background by the standards of American politicians. He's not just a multiracial, but he's also truly multicultural. People think of him and they look at him and he's so not a cookie cutter mold kind of guy that they don't really quite know what to make of him, and so they sort of impose themselves upon him. And so, indeed, as that list indicated, the right sees him as this, you know, incredible. I mean, he fooled the entire world about where he was born, and the left often finds him to be Adlai Stevenson talking everything to death and getting nothing done.
Well, or as you say, I mean, obviously one of the big things that liberals are frustrated about is that, you know, he ran on but continues to have this stubborn faith in bipartisanship no matter how many times he gets absolutely no help and just solid obstructionism from the right.
I know, and I think there's something valiant about that in a way, or touching, even if it's counterproductive. And my hope is that
it's like the whole thing
from the healthcare, you know, the way the Republicans basically played him for a year.
Well, it's the Charlie Brown football thing, right? You're like, oh, you're not going to do it again. Oh, okay.
Right, exactly. And so I think it's very, you know, it's very important for him and Democrats to make something of these months between now and the next midterm elections, because really the only thing that's now on the plate is financial reform and jobs. That's it. That's going to decide the economic picture is going to decide this election, barring some, you know, event we can't imagine. And not health. The healthcare debate is over. He won. And so we have to hope now that he's not going to sort of be diddled again by Republicans in the Senate, who offered deals and then pulled them away in the last minute, as we saw with Olympia Snow and others during healthcare.
Right. Well, one of the great points I thought you made, Frank, in the article is that on the right, you know, it's like they refuse to believe that he agrees with them, even when he does. I mean, look at the healthcare debate. Those were some of their ideas, and then they're like, no, now we hate those.
I know.
We hate that now.
They won't take yes for an answer.
But what is that about? I mean, as much as he tries to be bipartisan and truly does believe in it, I think, like you say, Frank, what is it about, like, even when he agrees with them, there's something about him that they refuse to accept it.
I think it is very damning of them because it shows, including the so-called moderates, it shows that they are more concerned with partisan politics and hewing to a line set by Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, right, than about actually governing and actually trying to do things that fit their own principles and that the public might want. So you have this odd spectacle of Mitt Romney, you know, running around angrily proclaiming that there's no connection between this health care bill and the ideas he introduced in Massachusetts.
Yes.
You have some.
Well, now them talking about this, repealing it, which of course is just completely ridiculous, and they're trying to, you know, waste taxpayer money in all these states that can't afford it on something that legal scholars say is just ridiculous.
Yes, it's hopeless. It's not going to accomplish its goal. It's sheer politics. It has no practical payoff. And then you've got people like the Republicans have complained for years that the Democrats are too nice to the teachers' unions and don't favor, you know, ruthless market principles in schools. So here you have Obama offering some ideas in education reform that have actually angered teachers' unions and again have paralleled some Republican ideas, and Lamar Alexander, who's supposed to be a relatively moderate senator, is accusing him of being, Chinese Soviet communist, for his education reform. It's preposterous.
Yep. Well, you know, Frank, you finish up by, as you already mentioned, about jobs and the economy is going to be, you know, what he does with that. You say it'll be the moment of clarity that allows us at last to judge him, as we should all presidents, on what he's actually done than rather on who we imagine him to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once again, it'll be the economy, stupid, right?
I really think so, and I've always felt that. And, if healthcare had dragged on till next October, maybe that wouldn't have been the case. But that's what it's about. It's going to be about the unemployment figure. It's going to be about the perception of whether there's a real lasting recovery or not. And I think that financial reform is not only is it needed, it's also a great opportunity for Obama to hoist the Republicans on their own petard, because now they're taking all the bankers' money that Obama once took and going to try to fight it.
Well, and one of the phenomenons we've been talking about is how the Republicans today revere Reagan. We were talking about this whole chapter in Hannity's new book about why I'm a Reagan conservative. And
right,
it's interesting, isn't it, on the heels of this nuclear agreement? I mean, Ronald Reagan was for zero nukes, went
right
on record as saying that, raised taxes, it had a huge deficit spent every single year. It really is amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. But, you know, no one remembers anything. They don't remember who Reagan was or what he actually did. And, by the way, they've also conveniently forgotten that they signed on to Bush, who did these record deficits and reestablished the principle that you do things you can't pay for and don't pay as you go. No, it's Reagan to them, it might as well be a Muppet. You know, it's like a brand that they know means something, and everyone, they all talk about it. Remember during the presidential debate, the primary debate, every Republican just talked about Reagan. Half of them don't even know who he was, really. So it's preposterous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I thought it's interesting in every discussion we're having today, Reagan on record many times is saying we need to try terrorists as criminals.
Exactly. But they're completely ignorant of history. It's like these Tea Party people who take a few phrases from the Revolutionary War period, or take a few phrases from the Third Reich, and find absurd parallels to what's going on now that really have nothing to do with the real history.
Right. But I think, as you say, Frank, particularly financially, I mean, that's one of the things that I know even Paul Krugman has written praising Reagan, that unlike Bush, he cut taxes, but then he realized the reality of things, and he wrote that he had more, you know, tax increases in, of any president. I can't remember, you know, what the time period was.
Well, if Paul wrote it, you can take it to the bank, so to speak, and I'm sure it's true. But Reagan's become a caricature of himself, not through Reagan's fault, but through these would-be heirs who are so desperate to change the subject from George Bush and Michael Steele and all the rest that they glom onto it.
But, I mean, I think Paul's point is that, you know, he was criticizing Bush for doing the opposite, that given evidence of what was happening financially, he just doubled down. He did more tax cuts for the rich, which is part of what...
Look, when we went to war after 9/11, he told us all to go shopping. And he gave us all tax cuts. And that was the fiscal principle of Republicanism for a decade.
Right. Well, let's hope that the president has learned the lessons of history as well as you and Paul Krugman. All right.
Well, I don't want to speak for myself, but anyway, yeah, certainly as well as Paul, anyway.
Well, you are the best writer in the world. No offense, Paul Krugman. The new column is It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Obama from last Sunday's New York Times. It's the highlight of my week, which says so much about me and you, Frank.
Well, thank you, and I hope we'll discuss this in person soon, too.
Oh, me too.
Not on the phone line.
Oh, listen, it's become a storyline here on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Waiting for Frank Rich. It's my version of Waiting for Godot. All right.
Guiding light.
Frank Rich from the New York Times. Thank you, Frank.
Great talking with you, Steph.
You too. There he goes. Sigh. 47
you
minutes.
You love him, don't you?
Oh, I love him
so much. What does Mrs. Rich think about this?
I don't know. I didn't invite her. 47.
What does Mr. Miller think about this right now?
Acting like I'm not even here. Would have been fine if she showed up. I would have been like, hi, Frank. Oh, hi, Mr.
Oh, Hal. You're over there licking your iPad anyway.
47.
It's because Steph is my wallpaper.
Yes.
47 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Stephanie Miller Show. I'm just here crushing on Frank Rich and, of course, Hal Sparks. Okay, Hal, you can play some of your music, too. I know marriage is a 50-50 thing.
Oh, there we go. Jesus Built My Hot Ride.
NWO by Ministry.
Oh, no, yeah, New World Order. That's right. Beg your pardon. It's off the same album.
Yes.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP.
This has quotes from George Bush Sr. in it.
It does.
All right. Kenny in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ken.
Hi. I'm calling to talk about the fact that how the Republicans stopped the unemployment emergency stopgap, if you want to call it that, knocking 210,000 people off of unemployment. I'm just wondering what kind of effect that's going to have on the economy and on, like, foreclosures. You know, people could be losing their houses. Mm-hmm. I think they're just
if you're according to Republicans, you're just a loser if you don't have a job. And you need to pull yourself up by the...
We lost our jobs, so I guess that makes us losers. But
you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, except that nobody can even afford bootstraps now.
They're just stopping us from our own socialist reflexes. They're trying to protect us from ourselves.
You know where capitalism is working very well, Hal, is in the mining industry.
Yeah, you know what? I think they're right when they say, you know, if you leave industry to police its own works, then things would be just fine. I don't know why, you know, we even needed the EPA in the first place. Because I'm sure even if the standards, you know, that we set, which are incredibly low, I'm sure if we left.
Yeah, regulations and stuff that, and that's French and gay. Massey Energy actively contesting millions of dollars of fines for safety violations at its West Virginia coal mines.
Yeah.
They have that particular mine has been cited for 3,007 safety violations. They're contesting, I believe, almost all of them. Mm-hmm. And they're very proud that they don't have any of those pesky unions to
right. They're a union-free company.
Right. Rules and stuff like that.
And also, I was watching CNN yesterday, and some of the families of you know, the miners who lost their lives, they found out about it through word of mouth. The people from Massey Energy didn't even call the families right. and let them know that their loved ones had died.
The president yesterday.
My deepest condolences, our thoughts and prayers to the families and the friends of the workers.
The coal mine.
What was that about clean coal again that everybody was talking about?
Exactly.
What was the clean coal part? Where's the clean part?
The coal mine rock biting explosion that killed at least 25 workers in the nation's deadliest mining disaster since 1984 have been cited for 600 violations in less than a year and a half, some of them not properly ventilating methane, the highly combustible gas suspected in the blast. The disaster at the Upper Branch mine has focused attention on the business and safety practices of the owner, Massey Energy, a powerful and politically connected company in Appalachia known for producing big profits as well as piles of safety and environmental violations and big damage awards for grieving widows. I believe they just were involved in one of those, you know, the Hannity, Ted Nugent things down there, kind of anti-environmental rally.
Great.
Money for that. Most big mines don't have as many serious infractions as Upper Big Branch, according to industry experts. The CEO, what's his name, Blankenship?
Mm-hmm.
He said it's natural the enemies of coal would view Massey as the primary enemy. I think I've proven that we run safer coal mines.
Huh?
You know, most of the time. Yeah. And accidents sometimes happen. You know, accidents happen, bones break. We've got to figure out what happened here. Well, what happened here, you see, is that you didn't properly ventilate for methane, mm-hmm. which they had told you to do, and that was... I mean, it's seriously, it's unbelievable. Like, there's no, you know, cause and effect here. Massey, for instance, Massey, in 2006, two miners were killed in a fire. Massey settled a wrongful death lawsuit. Testimony showed that the Massey CEO, Don Blankenship, suggested firing two supervisors for raising concerns about conveyor belt problems just before the belt caught fire. So
right.
that...
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a complete double standard in that, you know, didn't we just give rights to corporations as human beings or whatever?
Yeah.
If a human being was responsible for the death of 25 people, they would be put in jail for at mm-hmm. least mm-hmm. involuntary manslaughter.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, the Republicans these days, they're really, aren't they, Chris, using every opportunity to union bash?
Sure.
I mean, any bill, anything mm-hmm. that has any, you know, look at this nominee. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's too union-y. Oh, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, like unions are the enemy of workers. I mean,
right.
it's really like, what? Are the enemy of the people or something? Operating non-union mines across southern West Virginia, eastern Kentucky, and southwestern Virginia, Massey more than doubled its profit to $104.4 million in 2009 from the year before, despite slumping demand for coal amid the recession. Hmm. Massey has managed to push the United Mine Workers Union out of all of its operations except for one single processing plant. And they're proud of it.
Right. Well, it's mm-hmm. it's one of those things that, quite frankly, we, you know, like factory farming, that people just kind of assume has to be there, and therefore kind of let slide, don't want to hear about it, and they don't make they don't connect the dots with this and the coal ash waste that's poisoning rivers and streams all through the eastern part of the country.
But look at the financial crash. They try to make it seem like, oh, that had nothing to do with the lack of regulation.
Right.
It's like, and that's why, you know, financial reform needs to be next. It's just, it is just stunning, and people die, and they won't say a peep about this.
Right. No.
On the right about the, you know, what the causes might be. All right. Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal from Media Matters for America, joins us to co-host Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Something caught my throat.
A piece of Carbonite?
I use. Sometimes I drink it. I like it so much. Uh-huh. I use Carbonite to back up my computers. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computers today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right, and HalSparks.com is where he is video streaming. He's video streaming the comedy Man Meat in the L.A. studio on HalSparks.com.
It's pretty high-tech today. I got to say, we have a quantum leap quality-wise. We've had issues in the past with, you know, jerky video and all that kind of stuff. Now that's all fixed.
Now we just have jerks on
video. Jerks on video.
Yeah, jerky video sounds kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Speaking of jerky video, we're doing Right Wing World next.
Hello.
And speaking of other video, Mama will be on the MSNBC today at 3:30 Eastern with guest host Ed Schultz, who's filling in for David Schuster, suspended by MSNBC.
What?
Yes.
Again?
Yeah.
David Schuster, no, he didn't tweet anything inappropriate this time.
No, he went and taped a pilot for CNN.
Yeah, and they found out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of frowned upon at current employers.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Almost any of them.
I taped a radio pilot for the Rush Limbaugh show the other day. What?
Huh?
You're fired.
For EIB. Right.
You're fired.
Oh, by the way, Robert in Seattle sends me a hilarious picture of Sean Hannity's new book. He thought you'd like this picture of Hannity's book in its proper place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jim, you do that sometimes. You do really immature things with right-wing books.
Do not.
No.
Well, Sean, somebody put Sean Hannity's book in the douche aisle of
the Walmart.
Nice.
That's great. I should have thought of that.
It's next to a couple of boxes of Summer's Eve, which is...
I'm sure the humor was lost in right-wingers.
This ain't the aisle for books.
They put it in the lady things.
Somebody put it with the lady things on it.
That's wrong.
What's a book?
I'm sure that was an innocent mistake. Exactly.
Why isn't it on fire? Someone use the douche. Put the book out. I burned the wrong one.
All right, kids. And speaking of the right wing world, you know our buddy Carl Frisch is here for Media Matters.
Carl.
Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America.
So exciting to me.
Jazz hands.
It's Frisch. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Sorry about that. I was just filming a pilot, and he really has to get to the airport.
No worries.
I'm still getting the hang of this media thing.
Yeah, I understand. Me too. So let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? See what's doing. Oh, Alex Castellanos. Gee, do you notice a little bit of Republicans eating their own with the Michael Steele thing, Carl?
Sounds like they must have quit paying him.
Yes.
Yeah, here he is.
What you're going to see is you're going to see some of the members of the Republican Executive Committee, three from each state, the two national committee people and the party chairman, are going to need to have a little come to Obama meeting or come to Jesus meeting. A lot of people think it's the same thing in this town. And either come to terms with Chairman Steele on what he's going to do and conduct himself through the next election, or else take a different direction. And I think sometimes a change in leadership would be a good thing.
Carl, is it true that Michael Steele has taped a pilot to be the head of the DNC, or is that just a rumor?
Well, you know, Castellanos got in deep water over at CNN about a year ago because he was taking tens of thousands of dollars from the RNC, but he wasn't disclosing it when he was up there. So I guess the only thing we can realize here is that the big private jets and the limousines have been cut off, and he's looking for another gravy train.
when are they gonna realize that just because they think he's the devil, that doesn't mean we think he's Jesus? There's a difference, I think. You know.
Yeah. They've always had a messiah complex, it doesn't matter if it's Obama, if it's Ronald Reagan.
Right.
You know, they're gonna fix it on somebody.
Yep, exactly. Newt Gingrich, he's defending Michael Steele, apparently.
But I meet with Tea Party folks everywhere I go. I'll be in New Orleans on Thursday, and we'll meet with them. I'll be in Palm Springs on Wednesday, and we'll meet with them. And everywhere I go, what Tea Party leaders tell me is that they understand that in the end, their job is to help defeat Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, and ultimately in 12, to help defeat President Obama. I don't sense much interest in splitting if they get Republicans who are conservative.
Oh, even though that's been the actual result in many elections. Yeah. That's, I'm sorry. I was looking at another story. He has defended Michael Steele. I guess Newt Gingrich is the, saying everything's fine in Republican land. Michael Steele's doing a great job, and the Tea Party's having no divisive effect at all.
Yes. Again, I haven't trusted the political prognostications of Newt Gingrich since his second wife.
Right.
but, you know, there you go. You've got Newt Gingrich offering a little bit of a candid look at the Tea Partiers who Fox News routinely tells us are independent. And they're not really Republicans or Democrats, you know. They just want to defeat all Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Coincidentally.
All right. Hannity on the president.
Well, isn't this fundamentally... If Barack Obama thinks America's arrogant, doesn't believe in American exceptionalism, as past presidents have, gives away our enhanced interrogation techniques, you know, is it that he doesn't understand the nature that terrorists are evil, communist dictatorships are evil, tyrants exist, dictators exist? Does he not get that part?
He is such a simpleton.
Pirates?
Pirates exist.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Kennedy's been reading too much of his new book.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he wrote it. But
I know, and Carl, we were laughing about, you know, he has this chapter, Why I'm a Reagan Conservative. And, you know, Reagan, we could do Guess the Quote all morning where, you know, he spoke out against torture. He said we need to try terrorists as criminals in the legal system. You know, he did tax cuts, deficit spent, was for zero nukes. I mean. Who is this Republican Party? They're not.
He didn't just raise taxes. He did the biggest tax increase in the history of the country.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it is this, again, the Messiah complex. They are going to look at Ronald Reagan and they're going to think, oh, he is the be all, the end all, and forget everything about Ronald Reagan in the process.
Yep.
And also cherry picking the facts is how you build a religion in a lot of ways.
Well, there you
know,
go.
And you want to create a messianic ideal of someone, you have to kind of forget big chunks of what they did.
I did go into a Reaganology center for a personality.
That's right.
I think Sean Hannity models his hair after Reagan. That's about it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go much deeper than that.
Or a member of our gang. I'm convinced. Yeah, I'm convinced he's one of. Yeah, he's not Scotty, but I'll figure out.
All right. Glenn Beck on the radio on the.
If you put two timelines together, put the Soviet Union and the United States, but you have them moving politically in the opposite directions. We've always moved in the opposite directions. Okay, you know, they've always been bigger government. We've been smaller government.
What?
Now our government is moving towards bigger government. I contend we are on the exact same trajectory.
Oh, God, what a moron.
I contend we are repeating the Soviet Union.
Oh.
We're doing the same thing. And our arrogance, just like their arrogance, said, no, we'll survive. The question is Barack Obama Gorbachev or Yeltsin?
Now here is Jim Ward on why Glenn Beck is a moron. Jim?
He's smart. He got a chalkboard. Look, he drew pictures on a chalkboard words.
At what point, didn't he just conflict with Hannity there, you know, about American arrogance and exceptionalism? Are we exceptional or are we arrogant?
Are we arrogant? Which is it?
Yeah.
Well, we're exceptionally arrogant.
I want to break some news. I don't know if you guys read this in the New England Journal of Medicine, but apparently Glenn Beck has been part of a secret medical test on the effects of chalk dust on the brain.
Yeah.
Oh, he was complaining to his staff yesterday that they gave him Chinese chalk and that it wasn't very good.
Yeah, and then they said, no, it's French chalk.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. Get it, because French is nah.
Glenn Beck on the Fox News.
Barack Obama, I think, is very, very good at what he does because he knows how to sell it. Marxism always starts with a happy face, striving just to do good for others. That's all it is. It's not taking your money away. I'm just trying to help people.
How is he a Marxist?
Yeah.
In what way is Obama a Marxist?
With a happy face.
Well, he does know a guy named Mark.
He's
a Groucho Marxist.
Hello, it's right there. The writing's on the wall.
And Bush didn't sell the Iraq War and all of his ridiculous Patriot Act kind of nonsense and handing the government over to corporations. He didn't sell that with a swagger and a smile. That wasn't sold with, you know, the hyper-capitalism wasn't sold with a big grin.
Apparently craziness is sold with a few fake teardrops and a chalkboard. So,
yeah. All right. Wow. Drug addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh to end this edition of Right Wing World.
The news will be a buzz about our nuclear arms treaty. So don't worry. It is amazing. The rollback of the Reagan Revolution.
Oh, come on.
Taking us back militarily and as far as our defense posture is concerned.
We're going to be checking
to rocks. Our pre-victory in the Cold War days back in the 80s and even prior to that.
Oh, God.
You know, I have to say Rush Limbaugh's right if you stop looking at the Reagan years in like 1984.
Right. Yes. If you don't look at the treaty he signed and all the talk of zero nuclear weapons being his goal, yes.
If you forget Ronald Reagan from halfway through his term through every president since, yes, we've not had a goal of reducing nuclear arms both here and in Russia.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I don't like forgetting about 30 years of American history.
But yeah. Like I said, you have to eliminate those parts of it. If it's very inconvenient when you're trying to push a meme that's based on Feng Pi, as the Chinese would say.
Obviously, I just don't know what it is to take a timeline. See, what you do is you take a timeline, mm-hmm. and you stretch it across this way, and then you go up vertically into, I don't know if you guys watch V
yes.
on television, uh-huh. but if yes. you take it up vertically, and then you combine the two, you get Avatar.
so. All right. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. That was Frisch and exciting, as usual. Carl, thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week. There he goes, our Yay. Buddy, our pal. 18 minutes after the hour, speaking of a kind of a big deal, the nuke, as Joe Biden would say, a big, you know, deal, the nuke agreement. We will talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Precisely. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour.
You should see how he's shaking his butt for the camera.
We are halfway through. We're at hump day of hump days with Hal.
It's true. And it feels good.
Mm-hmm. yes. Hal Sparks and, of course, the comedy man meet, Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy, all streaming live on halsparks.com, video streaming in the L.A. studio of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. All right.
The EIB, the LIB, the Liberal and Broadcasting Network.
And I'm here all alone and untelevised.
Till next week.
Can see me.
I'm
except
be...
for Chris on Skype.
Yes.
Hello.
You should change.
Although Hal is going to be in studio with you next week.
Yeah.
Yes, and Hal will be live on stage with me April 17th, along with John Fugelsaim for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal
Hooray!
Show. Go click on the banner ad on stephaniemiller.com to get tickets.
That's right.
That's true. I will be tweeting about it, as will SM Show, if you don't follow. They need to follow you on Twitter, by the way, at SM Show.
Thank you,
follow me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just at Hal Sparks, and John Fugelsaim is also there. It's all run together at John Fugelsaim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got 300 people in our chat room, by the way, requesting heavy metal music. Anyways,
All right.
Yes.
Jim Ward, here's an improvised edition of Guess the Quote. Who said we need to get to zero nukes always? That's our goal. I signed this thing and I want zero nukes, etc.
Lucy Van Pelt.
No, Ronald Reagan. I didn't bother looking up the quotes. I did them yesterday. Anyway, it's a... Yeah, it's amazing. That's you know, they're all screaming about this and what a wuss the president is. And this is exactly what Reagan tried to do. Mm-hmm. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday.
We are recalibrating our priorities to prevent nuclear proliferation and nuclear terrorism. And we are reducing the role and number of weapons in our arsenal while maintaining a safe, secure, and effective deterrent to protect our nation, allies, and partners.
Pretty much, you know, every expert, military and otherwise, this is a good goal and the right way to do this.
Yeah, the kind of things adults do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, once again, it's because Obama's for it, they are reflexively against it. I mean, seriously, how many times over do you need to blow up the world? I mean...
A million times! So you get all the bad people!
It's, doing the math, by the way, yes. He's trying to lower our nuclear arsenal by, I think it's from 2,500 active nuclear missiles to 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like we'll be defenseless.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You're right.
By the way, I forgot to mention, Carl Frisch wrote a great piece on Media Matters about this that you should read, who was just our guest for Right Wing World. He writes, media conservatives have criticized an Obama administration nuclear policy review provision that would limit the role that nuclear weapons play as a deterrent, claiming Obama was undermining our national defense with a dangerous policy. Mm-hmm. These criticisms, of course, have been rejected by nuclear experts, scientists, and military brass who support a limited and narrow role for a nuclear
weapon.
Only
1,500 nukes?
Whatever shall we do? Well, you know, one of the other issues that comes with this is by paring down the nuclear arsenal to a usable amount for that, you know, literally 35 times the minimum you would need for any other country in the world for a genuine attack. We've got all these extra. It also takes out all those troops that have to be maintaining those things.
Right.
There's 35 to 65 people that have to maintain. Not
ICBMs
only
ICBMs are difficult to maintain.
Exactly, too. And it's wasted technology. They they go bad. It takes a lot of maintenance to keep one of them functioning, and we spend a ton of money operating silos in other countries
that we're never, ever
going to use.
Right.
Yep, Robert Gates, Defense Secretary.
This NPR determined that the United States will not develop new nuclear warheads. Programs to extend the lives of warheads will use only nuclear components based on previously tested designs and will not support new military missions or provide for new military capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, meanwhile, we still don't have a cure for cancer, and let's make new technology. We don't need any new technology, and we already have. We have it. We
and
have
a
enough
lot of
to-
cancers
okay, there you
are
go.
Because of the increased background radiation from all the nuclear tests
right.
we've done.
Yeah, exactly. Robert Gates again on the...
This review describes how the United States will reduce the role and numbers of nuclear weapons with a long-term goal of a nuclear-free world.
Go
which is
figure.
Exactly what Reagan talked about
back
when it was not French and gay and defeatist.
Right.
American exceptionalism, apparently, back then.
Right. Let's be very clear that Reagan, if he were alive now, would be actually a blue dog Democrat by comparison to what's going on.
He'd be a Reagan Democrat.
And I disagree with
him. Was a Democrat.
Yeah, right. I disagree with a lot of what he said the same way I have a problem with Blanche Lincoln and Ben Nelson. But he wouldn't be in, you know, with the Tea Partiers.
Yeah. That shows you how far right
they've gone.
The Republican Party has gone.
That's my point. It's not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. Robert Gates again.
Given Al-Qaeda's continued quest for nuclear weapons, Iran's ongoing nuclear efforts, and North Korea's proliferation, this focus is appropriate and indeed essential, an essential change from previous reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In one last, Robert Gates talking about Iran and North Korea.
If there is a message for Iran and North Korea here, it is that if you're going to play by the rules, if you're going to join the international community, then we will undertake certain obligations to you. And that's covered in the NPR. But if you're not going to play by the rules, if you're going to be a proliferator, then all options are on the table in terms of how we deal with you.
I'm sorry, if Kim Jong-un is going to be a what?
A proliferator. I know who people are proliferator.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to make a lot of nuclear weapon.
Okay. 29 minutes. The only reason I played that soundbite. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's like
Stephanie Miller.
It used to be you couldn't say crap. Then they let that slide, and now we can say whatever we want. Douchebag, asswipe.
Anal rot.
Exactly.
Anal rot, anal rot.
Oh, boy. 34 minutes after the hour. Bill in Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I was just listening. I just wanted to remind you guys that the
the Tea Party really was founded on Reagan principles and Reagan's teachings, and that's really all there is to it. It's not a very complicated movement.
I would say it's veered very far from that initial idea.
About limited government, low taxes, and not allowing.
Right, but Reagan raised taxes more than anyone in American history. So it seems to be a little bit of a contradiction.
Well, he did say principles, not actions. He said it was based on the Reagan principles.
They're against out-of-control spending. He deficit spent every single year of his. He had huge deficits, and he deficit spent every single year of his administration. So how is that a Tea Party?
He started us on the greatest fiscal expansion and greatest time of prosperity in American history.
Prosperity for the top 1%.
Has that trickled down to you yet?
And shipped American jobs overseas.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know, the other thing is liberals keep bringing up the prospect of the Tea Partiers being racist.
Yep.
Some of them are. Yeah.
The prospect? No. What else do you call when people have signs with the N-word on them?
They don't.
Oh, okay.
That's
a typical Republican response.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they were plants anyway.
Even though one of them was actually one of the leaders of the Tea Party.
Listen, I'm a Tea Party member here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm.
Of course you are.
We would love to have any ethnicity. It only adds to our strength and to our viability as a movement.
Except with the exception of the White House, correct?
The fact that if you have a quarterback that can take you to the Super Bowl and he's black or purple or white, you wouldn't care. I would care if he was purple.
I would like to go out on that. I would be a little concerned.
They'd be happy if he was a Minnesota Viking.
If Barack Obama was a conservative, I would be 100% behind him. It doesn't matter to me at all.
So you're supportive of all the conservative principles that were, say, in the health care bill, for example, that this is actually a very centrist bill with a lot of conservative ideas in it, including the mandate, which was originally an idea dating back to Bob Dole.
There are some good portions. It needs to be tweaked. I think if we
so you would have to, you would have had your representative vote for it.
How would you tweak it, Bill?
Well, first of all, I put tort reform in. Secondly,
there is tort reform in it.
Compete over state lines. I think it's a noble goal that we cover people. I think the people that can't pay for it should probably be subsidized by the government so that pre-existing conditions.
That's kind of
be big
government of you a bit there, Bill.
No, I think it's noble, and Americans have always wanted to help the least of us, so that if you're mentally or physically incapable of taking care of yourself, we come in and help. I think that that's great. I think that you enslave people when you give them everything and there's no incentive to get out there and
I don't
work.
That doesn't sound
how
like
are you, how does this health care bill give it doesn't give anybody anything
yeah
well it
we're
does.
Not giving free health care to anybody
right. Yeah.
Well,
that's probably
right now,
that's an issue
not right
a lot
now,
of
but if you listen to Harkin or some of the other congressmen and senators, they said that the public option will be built.
Yes,
in
a public
later.
Option
we'll,
is we'll, it would
we'll
be competition.
It,
it would be competition for the other insurance companies. How is that giving away?
It is
a you also have to pay for your
have
public
to make
option.
A profit when they essentially given a short
the same argument if you're making
short period of time will put the other insurance companies out of business.
The same argument would be if you went okay, what government does and government can't do it as good as the private sector, then basically you're for the deformation of the army and doing all of our military actions through Blackwater.
There are some things that government can do better than private.
Okay, so one of them is protecting
one of roads and those kinds of things.
Sure, and protecting the public from, let's say, from harm.
I'm not on the way out fringe that believes in anarchy and no government. I think that government has its place and private enterprise has its place.
Well, I'm fairly certain you're in
so
a
why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of competition and capitalism in the health insurance industry? Why would they be afraid of a public option?
I think competition is the key. It's the answer. It's what.
So why don't you want competition in the private health insurance industry?
It takes $400 a month, let's say, to cover a family of four, and the government comes in and says you can cover your family of four for $100 with us, the public option. Who in the right mind would ever buy insurance for $400 when you can get it from $100?
It would force the private insurance.
All of the health insurance companies go under.
No, it would force the private insurance companies to.
They would have to. What's the word I'm looking for?
To compete.
All right.
And streamline their business.
That would be capitalism.
Yes.
That's what that would look like.
Right.
By the way, first of all, I'm going, first of all, if a family of four can get health insurance for $400, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
the insurance companies are such greedy bastards that we're having this discussion.
You know what? He wasn't as screechy as some of the right wingers.
Although we did learn from that any of the racism in the Tea Party has been planted by a liberal somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
That's
no,
true.
You know it's not us because we know how to spell the N-word at least, for God's sake.
That's true.
We wanted
we
to
spend
plan
so much
sign.
Time fighting its use and being called politically correct.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
is the this is what they mean, by the way, when you hear them. That's code for we want to be able to use racial slurs again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Never forget
Dave
that.
Dave and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Reagan as well. Hello, Dave.
Hey, I want you guys on my debate team. You are just shredding these people. It is wonderful. You know, when we have
Hal in too, it's just like a game of Red Rover.
Yeah. Yeah,
send the right winger over.
Yeah. Clothesline.
Chris will be your enforcer with those arms, man. He'll take care of people.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I remember the first time I voted was with Reagan. That guy was the second worst president we've ever had. He started the whole country on this anti-government insanity. He appointed felons. They didn't do anything on the environment. They gutted it. And the bottom line is he didn't start us on prosperity. He drove us into the ground.
Right.
And these Tea Partiers have got to just, their heads are so far up their rear ends, they look normal, for God's sake.
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent point insofar as their variation from what they're actually saying to what they want. If you listen to how this guy was talking over time, as we started talking to him about the parts of the bill, this is exactly what's going to happen with this health care bill as we get towards the election, too, as parts of it start to go into effect.
Sorry, We hate it. That part's good.
This part's good. Well, then where were the conservatives of any sort? Are you Reagan conservatives, Teabagger conservatives? Where were any of them suggesting any single part of this on their own when they had power? When they could actually have put it in place, mm-hmm. did they ever bring up the health bill, you know, of their own, the one that they're wagging around? Not once.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Chris Matthews rants during this whole thing. Wait, when you're in power, you don't do it. You criticize with the bill, but you don't do it. You don't do it. You...
Yeah.
I know. I just... He was off on the... I think he was going off on some right-winger.
Fair enough.
That's not fair enough. That's not. You didn't do it when you had power. All right, let's go to Cheryl in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cheryl.
Good morning. I pay $375 a month for health care. I've been looking forward to this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
And you won't be kicked off if you get sick. This is the most important thing. I think whether you believe in subsidizing anything, I think that single issue should be the thing that it, like, brings everybody together. The idea that you could – and talk about being capitalist – the idea that you could pay into a service for years, every month, like clockwork, and then one day you need to cash it out, and they decide to tell you, nah, I'm sorry, we just decided.
Well,
you don't
I agree with the president. If you want to run against that.
Knock yourself out. Yeah.
Yeah, the people can, again, be discriminated against for having pre-existing conditions. Go for it. You know, if you think that's a political winner.
My guest. Just
the nerve. Yeah. You know, you can't even wrap your head around the thought that those two thoughts bouncing around in the same brain must cause aneurysms. Like, these people need health care just for the nosebleeds they're going to get trying to fit those ideas in their heads.
The naive of some people.
Jeez. It's madness.
It's madness. It is.
It's Sparta.
You are mad. You're completely mad. You've gone mad. I don't get it. And yet they're and again, once you start having a conversation with them, they go from vitriol to, well, that seems reasonable, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute you stop talking to it, they just got to go, well, I'm an independent, so I don't really, I'm not
in
the thing.
I don't have a dog
in
the hunt. Yeah. I don't have
exactly.
any.
Chris in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Chris.
Steph, Al, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Oh, my goodness. I normally don't call in on shows normally, but wow. I mean, how many more wackos can you guys get on the show today?
It's Wacko Day. It's Wacko Wednesday.
I'm in that frame of mind where I'm going, are there any sane people that pick up a book and actually read history? I really think that we get our stuff now from MTV and VH1. I don't know what else to say.
I wouldn't give them that much credit.
I never thought we would wind up like this as a country.
I would not give them that much credit because
own facts
and
not read our own real history.
Yeah.
So,
no, exactly. Reagan doing the most tax increases and the biggest tax increase in history. And then you go, he's like, no, it created the best economy. It's like, well, were you on Dynasty? Unless you were the people on Dynasty.
Exactly. Yeah. No, what Reagan did was get people, working class people, to vote against their own interests.
Yeah.
You know, to destroy the unions and jobs overseas.
He was a master at that.
Yeah.
And but he's a real American. I like him. He's got great hair.
Talk about redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
Upward. Moving it all upward into the upper 2% with trickle-down economics. Remember how well that worked out?
Right.
Ask the first President Bush when he reaped the...
voodoo economics.
Yeah. When he actually had to deal with that during his... Except
you got to give Bush Sr. and Reagan credit. You know, as I was quoting Paul Krugman earlier, you know, at least Reagan, when confronted with the evidence, he raised taxes. He changed course. Whereas George W. was like, yeah, double down. Let's do some more of that. And that's how we got the economy we've got now.
Well, if you read, Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine,
right.
These guys believe this ideology in the face of any evidence to the contrary, no matter mm-hmm. how stark it is. Chile, Iceland, Greece, they have been trying.
Haiti.
Yeah, they've been trying to overlay this methodology onto every country, including ours, and everywhere they've done it, major crash,
mm-hmm.
major destruction.
Mike
and
in Chicago, you're on.
Yeah,
you're,
and pilfer.
Hey guys, how are you?
Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
This whole there's no racism in the Tea Party.
Right.
Here's three perfect examples, and they're all by Tea Party leaders. On Anderson Cooper in November of 2009, the one in charge of the Texas Tea Party said, quote unquote, that Obama is an Islamic Muslim turned welfare thug. And that was the first one. And then the guy in the infamous Texas T-shirt holding the sign "Congress equals slave owner." He's the one in charge of the San Antonio Tea Party.
Right.
And then the third is the witch doctor with the bone through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That was made from the Oklahoma Tea Party organizer and leader. And that guy's a doctor. You know,
yep.
And here they are saying there's no proof of this. This is the patrons. These are the leaders making these signs.
Mike, you misunderstood his point. Those are all liberal infiltrators
right.
trying to make the Tea Party look bad.
That.
Yeah, they're all
sneak into the Tea Party in one of Glenn Beck's ears and out the other, and they kind of, whichever way is facing away from them, they can sneak in using his empty skull.
You know, I think there might be some states that need to secede. You know, just... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Jim will allow some of you to go.
Yeah.
46
secede
minutes,
into Jesus land.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
But
what's that song called,
Stephanie?
What's this song called, Stephanie?
It funks your brother. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour.
Stephanie?
Yes, sir?
Should probably let you know that
mm-hmm.
Hal has pointed a web camera at my Skype of you.
Oh, I see it there.
And so now you are on the webcam as well.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my very tight roller derby t-shirt, everybody.
Yay! Everybody's really excited in the chat room. They're very excited that they can finally see you.
Hi, chatters.
Reflection of Chris.
Pardon me?
With a slight ghost. It's like a glamour shot because there's a reflection of Chris because of the light bouncing out the screen. So it's like you're staring ahead
that's good.
And your prom date's looking wistfully off in the corner.
Oh, no, that's good. It's Norma Desmond lighting for me. Good.
It is.
I need the Blanche DuBois lighting.
Could
you mask a little scarf over that?
Right.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Of the kindness of lighting director strangers. Mm-hmm. Hello, Larry in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I got on because I said I'm a whack job, so I figured I'd get right on the air with you guys. So
you went to the top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let me walk you through this insurance thing. I don't know how you guys with a straight face could possibly say that competing with the government is raising and adding competition. The government can just write a check, they can print money, and they don't have to worry about overhead, they don't have to worry about making payroll. What it's going to do is, which is the goal, is to force out private insurers.
Hold on, they have to balance a budget.
Do you think, Larry, let Mama talk for a minute. Do you think that the private health insurance companies are operating fairly? Do you think the amount of profit they make is fair?
Fair is a relative word.
When people's lives are at stake?
You think denying people, dropping people when they get sick, and the kind of bonuses they're taking, the CEOs, that's fair.
You are not going to get me to support an insurance company. We all hate them. Let's just agree to that.
Okay.
Some of the things in this bill are terrific.
Stipulated.
Most of them are not, because you will not be able to pay for it. And why don't you guys just be honest about it? The whole goal here is to get rid of private insurance.
No.
Private insurance.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's to save people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to help people here.
It's not saving people's lives. It's not helping them.
How is it not saving people's lives?
You're creating a dependent class of people that are going to vote Democrat. That's exactly what the thing is.
Do you see? Do you always see everything in political terms rather than trying to help people?
No, but in this case, see, that's the way you're casting it. It's trying to help people.
That's the way it appears.
Okay. Larry, did you just say that you're not helping people by trying to keep them alive?
Let me ask you a question. How is it going to help adding 30 million people, depending on what your numbers are this week, to a pool of people that don't have enough doctors right now to even cover them?
Well, okay, so we need more doctors. But
well, that's an issue for the AMA. The AMA limits the amount of doctors in here.
That's an issue for you and I. Now, let's just be honest about it.
The government is you and I.
Let him talk.
The competition that you need is real competition. Let insurance companies, first of all, you need regulation.
How are you going to do that? What are they just going to magically start being fair?
You sell, no, nothing, capitalism is not fair, it's competition. And you want real competition, what you do is you set regulations.
But it's because they don't have any competition. A lot of places, people only have one insurance company to choose from.
I agree with you. Let them follow over state lines, let them have real competition, it's not a capitalist.
Right, so they'll go to the state where there's the least regulation so they can be even less regulated.
That's not true, that's a fallacy. There's a thousand companies.
That's a fallacy, but a dependent class that's being created of slaves is not.
The Democratic Party is not.
Okay, look. Wait, hang on a second.
Let me understand this. So keeping people alive is not helping people.
No. And on top of that, let's look at the other areas where the government is in competition directly with private industry. Schools. There are public and private schools. People have a choice to go to a private school, but they always have the baseline of having a public school. They will never be left uneducated. Right. They will always be offered that so they can compete, even if they don't have the money. If you've got the money, you can go private.
Democrats will stop at nothing, keeping people alive.
The Ivy League is terrified because there are community colleges.
Yes.
We have a publicly funded military that is full of that is citizen operated. Mm-hmm. We actually have a civilian leadership that oversees a military group. Meanwhile, they contract with Boeing and other companies to make things specifically for that private or public entity. So in every area where our national safety is concerned, we always have a public baseline no matter what.
Oh, that's different, though.
Because it's
not a liberal conspiracy. So
no.
You see,
well,
Jeff in Canton, Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hello there. I have two important things to discuss.
Yes.
First of all, today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I would like to be named the official Stephanie Miller April 7th birthday boy.
Wow, we needed one.
Yeah. I mean, chalk that off on the calendar. This thing's getting full.
I know, and it was probably rough. I needed to get my call in early. Right. Secondly, I want to point out that guys like Alex Castellanos make fun of us for, and they say that we treat Obama like Jesus, but meanwhile, here's a golden idol of Reagan to look at.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's like people that use Jesus to gay bash, and you're like, he didn't say anything about gays. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. No, it's not.
And by the way, Larry, in Columbus, elections have consequences, my friend. You lost.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And your thought system has been tried to its umpteenth, its farthest extent through between Bush and Reagan. That methodology, that ideology has been really tested, and it has failed on all counts. Mm-hmm. Ask Alan Greenspan, who used to
Bill
sleep
in
with
Madison.
Ayn Rand.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Okay, well, just for the record, I'm for getting rid of all the private insurance companies. They don't do anything to help patients. And for-profit health care, I think
I was a little disingenuous there when he said you're for guy. I'm like, well, yes, if I could have single payer, I would. But
Reagan, okay, back to Reagan. Reagan comes in 81 and slashes the top marginal rate, cuts it more than in half. Mm-hmm. Then, when they get in trouble with the deficit, deficit, he says, oh, my goodness, let's raise taxes. So what does he do? He raises FICA taxes, doubles them, then borrows from the Social Security Trust Fund to hide the real extent of the deficit. So he's raising taxes on poor working hourly wage workers, and especially people like me who were, you know, single owner sole proprietors.
There you go. I hear you, honey. Yes. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 57 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the big show brought to you by Carbonite. I use Carbonite to back up my computers, gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
Sweet.
All right. And also, on StephanieMiller.com, by the way, you can click on the ad there and see Hal Sparks and John Fugel saying, and me in Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, live in New York City on April 17th.
What makes it sexy?
Hal and John.
Yeah. Oh. Beg your pardon. And she will be wearing exactly what she wears on air that you can almost never see, except you can today, sort of.
What, Uggs and a T-shirt?
Yeah. No. Her really tight
spinning
pants.
I'm going to tart it up a little bit for the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Really?
But there's a very, very limited number of tickets. It will be filmed for the television, so you need to go online and get tickets if you're going to be in New York City April 17th.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. Bryce writes, Steph, I'm so with you on Hal's music. I've always found it somewhat oxymoronic that Hal doesn't drink or partake in substances and likes speed metal. It seems to me you have to be drunk or high to enjoy that. Yes, that's like Operation Commando Eagle.
It's an eagle without a pants.
Way to sell it, Jim. That's
good. All right. And a unsolicited testimonial from Peter at Libertyville. Steph, you made my mother-in-law harumph, and I love you for it. My Glenn Beck-loving mother-in-law, who is addicted to right-wing talk radio, was in town for Easter. On Saturday morning, she turned on my kitchen radio, heard it was a talk show, and settled in with her coffee. What she didn't realize is since it was my radio, it was of course tuned to Chicago's WCPD and CPT and the Saturday morning rebroadcast of your show. I watched carefully for the response.
Uh-oh.
It's like he replaced her coffee
right
with Folgers crystals.
Yeah.
I replaced her regular right-wing wax show with Stephanie Miller crystals. What's lots of fun. let's see. First, she tilts her head with a confused dog look. to make sure she's really hearing what she thought she heard. Then the facial tics start, and then she begins to grimace, like she's hearing some giant dog whistle that only she can hear. Finally, she stands up, slams the radio off, and stomps out of the kitchen with a very loud, harumph! It was beautiful. Thanks for making my weekend. You're welcome, Peter.
Wow. I didn't think people actually said harumph.
She actually said harumph.
Wow. She's older.
To the dulcet tones of...
Stephanie Miller.
That's right. All right. You know... Speaking of dissension in the family, how about these people that tried to get their dead relative on a flight, and they said they didn't realize he was dead?
Yeah,
right.
Sounds like
that's someone
Wynette
that really has been ignoring the relatives for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the guy had Alzheimer's for a really long time, and
yes.
So he wasn't responsive much anyway. And
his lungs still would be.
Well, yeah.
You know what I
they
mean?
Tried like, to. Two women tried to smuggle a dead relative on a plane at Liverpool John Lennon Airport. Mm-hmm. And yes, did you pack your own corpse today, or has anyone else packed your corpse, or did you do that yourself? It was pushed in a wheelchair, complete with sunglasses. But as his two companions tried to check him in for the flight, staff became suspicious, and alerted the authorities.
What's that smell? Oh, thank you, girl.
I think there's something.
It's a dirty old man.
It's a dirty old man.
Your grandfather's dead.
A dirty Ken, old man.
Ken in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ken.
Hey, how are you, call me Crad, doing today?
We're us commie-crats are fine. How are you right-wing asshats doing?
Hey, you know what? I could be better, but you know what? We're going to change that in November and in 2012.
Okay.
You know, Obamacare is going to end one way or another. It's either going to be found unconstitutional, which is most likely.
Right. If you which legal scholar are you citing on that? Because all the ones that I've heard say that there is no chance of that. That it is not unconstitutional.
The ones you've heard are just flat wrong because the Congress does not have the power to make people buy.
As a constitutional law professor, you think the president might have caught that before.
Does the Congress have the right to make a hospital take you if you're sick?
You know, as a constitutional law professor, he didn't know too much about keeping his mouth shut, not knowing all the facts with Professor Gates either.
What?
I'm not too impressed with him.
Professor who?
Professor Gates.
Professor Gates.
He kind of jumped the gun.
Let
him talk. Let him know. Seriously, let him talk.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ken.
Didn't kind of have it all figured out with Guantanamo either. You know, this guy has a tendency to jump in all the way before he thinks things through.
Yeah, that's exactly his problem.
Now, what's going to happen?
He is a noted hothead. You're right.
Yeah, he didn't contemplate the Afghanistan policy at all. He just kind of flipped the coin.
If it's not found unconstitutional, it will bankrupt itself. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Let me give you a quick example, and then you can cut me off.
Okay.
Canada has 30 million people.
Yeah.
It costs them $160 billion a year. The United, that's per single payer. The United States has over 300 million people. That's $2 trillion a year on a budget that's already being overspent by $2 trillion. This country cannot sustain that level.
So the economic benefit to Canada by providing that single payer actually has drawn manufacturing jobs out of the United States. We've actually relocated more auto plants to Canada in the last 5 years than to Mexico.
Well, so, Canada pays lower. Canada money is on a lower pay.
No, it isn't. It's paired to the dollar as of yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
and it's been within.
You're talking 5 years ago.
No, I mean in the last 5 years. Over the last five years, specifically.
Five years ago, you could have bought a lot more for a lot less.
Actually, 10. But yeah, our
dollar. Hey, Ken, you know what? You are right about one thing. I'm going to cut you off now, okay?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
He seemed resigned to that fact.
Yeah. Look, I get $2 every time I call in to a show and say this. Gave me a sheet.
I get $2 Canada money. I got Canadian money.
A loony.
It's Canada money. All right.
You Canadicrats. You Canadicrats.
How you Canadicrats doing today?
If the Canadian system is so bad, why haven't they eliminated it? They have a conservative prime minister right now.
Right.
As does Germany.
As did France with Sarkozy.
About as far right as France gets.
Right. But still, I mean, and England the same way. Nobody can touch it once it gets in there. The interesting thing is, our version of that, by the way, is the military.
Right.
Nobody ever can start paring stuff down without an attack on them hating their own country, hating America. Mm-hmm. And we spend a disproportionate amount of our budget on unusable weapons that we end up stockpiling and then selling to other countries that in some cases use them against us.
Right.
Stephanie and Madison with something we can all agree on, and that is there's entirely too many asshats on the show today. Good morning, Steph.
I agree.
Hey, guys. Oh, my God. What a bunch of right-wing asshats. It just doesn't stop. But
yeah, boy, when Hal's here, it's talk radio is a full contact sport when they call in, isn't it? I can hear helmets crunching.
It's my music.
You know, it's hilarious how they use the Nazi analogy for Obama, which I'm sure has Adolf spinning in his grave.
Which is the one benefit to actually using it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that are talking in lockstep.
Yep, exactly. Well, by the way, I was going to say, speaking of Nazi analogies, bad news for those of you hoping for that Nazi Sandra Bullock sex tape.
Mm. Computer says no.
Oh.
Sandra Bullock says there is no sex tape.
Oh. Yeah.
There never has been one and there never will be one.
Well, I don't know about that part. I'm working on it.
Oh, how sparks.
Options.
She's
always
available. So.
Always, yeah, exactly. Leaving the options.
D-listed, right. So those of you sick asses out there who've been patiently awaiting a Nazi-themed sex tape featuring Miss Congeniality getting a dirty, you know, need to stop waiting.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, I said that seemed too good to be true, didn't it, Chris? I'm like, that can't possibly.
Yeah. The Sanchez part?
The whole, you know.
Now.
See, there you went and said it now. I tried to
I didn't
it.
Say the first part.
Children,
the filthy
please.
Gomez,
the filthy Gomez.
How does that not? What it, like people can't? There's the Google works backwards.
Yeah,
it'll say, "Did you mean Dirty Sanchez?"
Oh, come on, Hal. We're trying to be nuanced here as we normally are.
Oh, yeah, right. Cue the fart noise. Right.
If you're currently in Miami, delisted rights, you might be wondering why volunteers from the free clinic are handing out crotch masks and roach spray on the streets. It's because the horrors of Jersey Shore have landed in Miami.
Oh no.
Yesterday, the entire cast, including Snookers, Sammy Sweetfart, Ronnie, the Constipation, DJ Pauly D, and the other one, all moved into a house on South Beach that will soon be quarantined and declared a toxic zone by the Department of Health. All right. More catfight news from the delisted.com. The behind-the-scenes of Desperate Housewives?
Oh, this
dear
is
God.
This is nasty.
Oh,
holy
dear
crap.
God, TMZ reporting that Nicolette Sheridan filed a lawsuit against Mark Cherry. He's the creator of Desperate Housewives.
For
saying that he was Joan Crawford to hurt Christina. She claims that he hit her in the face after she questioned something in the script.
Wow.
Oh, my. Nicolette says that he behaved in an extremely abusive and aggressive manner toward the individuals who work on the show. She even says in a lawsuit that when Terry Hatcher complained to the network about Mark, he said out loud, "I hope Terry Hatcher gets hit by a car and dies."
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow. He apparently hated her and her ass face. Nicolette suing
for assault. I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
She's suing for assault and battery, gender violence, and wrongful termination.
Gender violence?
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a category?
Violence? Yeah, I thought it was just violence.
So you,
I guess it's just violence, but I guess.
Entire gender by attacking Nicolette Sheridan?
All right.
Something tells me he's a Republican.
He is. He's actually a log cabin Republican. Mark Cherry is.
Yep.
Interesting.
Which is always odd. Yes.
The California. I'm wondering if Rush Limbaugh will do this story today. The California Attorney General says Corey Haim obtained more than 550 prescription pills illegally in 3 months before his death. He obtained the medications, which included Valium and Soma, through 7 different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful, my friends. These Hollywood liberals. I tell you what, with the doctor shopping and the excess of prescription pills. All right.
I love your Rush Limbaugh impression.
It is solid.
My friends, people enjoy the dental suction. All right.
The dental suction. Yeah,
all right.
He should always have one of those tubes in his mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
I have to siphon off the saliva. Oh,
we're getting a root canal on the edge.
They're liposuctioning as we speak.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack and much more as we continue. Some more horrific news about the mining guy, the head of the mining company.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon me.
Sued for wrongful death.
Yes, we will get to all of that. But you know, negligent Mama believes in preventative health, and that's why I'm on P90X.
Oh.
Wow.
See?
Queen segue. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, Hillary in Binghamton, New York.
Welcome. Hi, Mama.
Hi, Hill.
It's your official militant graduate student checking in. And I've got to defend the Tea Party here, unfortunately. Look, they're crazy, a lot of them, but they do have a legitimate point. There is a legitimate debate to be had about the size of government and the responsibility of government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this debate has been happening since, you know, the progressive era. And so
I agree, but I think I have said this before, but I think that's happening in that real debate, that honest debate about that is happening entirely in the Democratic Party right now. In the scope, you can actually have a liberal to a conservative conversation, almost the entire legitimate spectrum inside the Democratic Party. What's happening on the Republican side is a complete ouster. They have no interest in it. When you have the kind of they've add this messianic level, like a Bible verse, to that Reagan line of, you know, the worst words you can hear from somebody is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. That is until you're under a piece of rubble.
Right.
Or you need a soldier or you need a hospital.
And this mining thing is a perfect example of, you know, government needs to be involved in, you know, regulations of some kind. I mean, this is so egregious. Let me get to this now since we brought it up, but... who said, believe me yet, global warming is a hoax and a Ponzi scheme? Those are the words of the February 19th tweet written by Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship, who was in the spotlight following the death of 25 miners, blah, blah. A CBS News review of his tweets since early January finds him railing against environmentalists. He takes the Sierra Club to task for tying up the legal system with frivolous lawsuits.
Frivolous.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Which I'm sure maybe the lawsuits from the dead miners family, those will also be frivolous, I'm guessing. He criticizes environmental activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr., friend of Stephanie Miller and the Stephanie Miller Show, for taking government subsidies for his solar business, which I'm guessing solar is, you know, French.
Solar is
gay
evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Coal.
Yeah, the sun.
Coal is the way of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have to destroy all the mountaintops. And
Blankenship is an active political operative who made $41,300 in direct campaign contributions to Republican candidates since January 2008. He's also on the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce. In his speech above, he denies climate change, derisively refers to Speaker Pelosi, Senator Reese, and others as greeniacs and calls them all crazy. He said the greeniacs are taking over the world. He spent over $1 million along with other U.S. chamber buddies like Verizon to sponsor last year's Labor Day Tea Party known as the Friends of America rally.
Mm-hmm.
Featured Sean Hannity, Ted Nugent, and Hank Williams Jr., was graced by Blankenship himself going off on a diatribe that seemed strange at the time but has come commonplace these days and concerned President Obama, Democrats, and anyone who doesn't salute God, coal, and apple pie.
God, coal, and apple pie?
Yeah, and
right.
They spend millions to defend unsafe workplaces and make sure there's no...
Growing up in Kentucky, there, you know, one of the, you know, coal's a huge industry there,
right.
and just the damage it does, not just environmentally, and it's not just the fact that they're chopping down the hills of Kentucky that are actually one of the great reasons to live there, but also because of the chemical runoff from the process, and then the miners' deaths, and the fact that when you actually burn the coal, it's bad for everything. There's no upside to this. Moving away from it is the only way.
And then we have press conferences like this. Governor Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Yesterday.
They're telling me that the first hole could be as late as tomorrow evening before the first hole was down, knowing what the conditions would be then to send the rescue teams in. So it's going to be a very long, slow process.
And he talked about the explosion, which I've seen that graphic on TV over and over.
Rails that cars, buggies, and heavy equipment, train rails that go back in. Look like they've been twisted like a pretzel. That's horrific. That's an explosion that just beyond proportion. And the heat that would come off of that explosion to cause that would be something.
And they were cited for that very reason in the past.
Multiple times. Yeah. Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Steph. How you doing? Listen, on messaging, the right wing isn't going to run against health care as we know it. They're going to run against the government takeover of your health care. It's important for Democrats to understand for the fall election. They're not going to be the right wing like the Boehners of the world. They're not going to be standing there saying, well, we are going to take away, we're not going to close the donut hole and we're going to take away the No, they're not going to say that.
They're going to argue against something that hasn't happened, basically. They're going to argue against a government takeover, which is not even close to being that. So it's like, okay. 29 minutes after the hour, back with a Scotchmore celebrity stack. And, we have to give a Republican award.
What?
It's a very rare, let's hear it for the Republican boy award as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Last night, I had a very graphic dream about...
Stephanie Miller.
What? Oh, I know, it's disgusting, but Tracy and I had to listen to...
Stephanie Miller.
...talk for hours yesterday. She must have gotten into my subconscious.
Oh, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Michael in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say that the plan is very simple, really. As far as, you know, the... I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's okay.
As far as health care. Really, if you compare it to the post office, if you want to send something really cheap but don't care about when it arrives, you send it to the post office. If you want something to arrive faster, you get FedEx or UPS. Same thing with a public option or the health care plan. If you want something cheap and bare minimum, you get that. If not, you get private insurance.
Right.
And understand what the problem is.
That's why it's an option, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you always know that your package will get there. It's guaranteed to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You actually have a choice in that case, and you don't have one right now in health insurance.
Yep. All right. By the by, finishing up Celebrity Stack, Dennis Hopper's estranged wife and daughter can live on his property while the couple resolve their bitter divorce case, and the actor fights prostate cancer. The judge also ordered the actor to pay $12,000 a month in spousal and child support. The judge said she told both sides they need to come together. It's never one-sided, she said. Yes, it is. Sometimes it is.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh.
And in this case, I'm on Dennis Hopper's side.
Did you? I think it was a couple of weekends ago where he got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
He showed up.
Oh my! I mean, you know, great for him for showing up, but he doesn't look good.
Really, his lawyer says he's desperately ill, and what a shame that he has to go through all this. Maybe there are two sides, but I'm just saying the wife seems like a skank.
Yeah,
all right.
Remember when Johnny Carson's first wife needed like $40,000 a month in furs? In L.A.?
Right.
Huh? Yeah. You only need that if you're an Eskimo or you're in Eastern Europe.
Right.
Oprah Winfrey has landed the first TV interview with Rial Hunter, speaking of skanks, since John Edwards first admitted that he had an affair. She told GQ, as you remember, the relationship is now something different. So maybe Oprah can find out.
Something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Is he
a man
still
with a chain?
Yes. But he's me in a different way now. Yes. Yes. I don't know how different how. All right. Oh, I promised it. It's the Republican award. Very, very rare here on the Stephanie Miller Show. And this is what happens, Chris, when a Republican tries to do something decent and human, he gets booed.
Yes, of course. He does.
Tom Coburn, did you see this? He actually said something nice about Nancy Pelosi. He said, don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News that somebody is no good. The people in Washington are good. They just don't know what they don't know. He called her a nice lady. Hey.
Lady.
Tom Coburn.
I'm 180 degrees in opposition speaker. She's a nice lady. I don't think we can wait. Well, come on now. She's a nice person. Let me give you a little lesson here. I hope you will listen to me.
No.
Just
not.
Because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're not a good person. And I want to tell you, I've been in the Senate for 5 years, and I've taken a lot of that. Because I've been on the small side, both in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Just because I don't agree with them doesn't mean I'm bad.
Wow.
It means I have a legitimate point of view that's different than theirs. And what we have to have is make sure we have a debate in this country so that you can see what's going on and make the determination yourself.
Wow. In other
words, don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News that somebody's no good.
What?
The people in Washington are good. They just don't know what they don't know.
Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld.
They were completely befuddled.
What? How?
Brain cannot process information.
Jim, was that you doing the old Tim Allen character?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
It's like Neanderthals gathered around a fire.
Yeah. Or Frankenstein. Don't blow suck until the tip glows.
I mean, literally, it's like they never heard those two. Fox News bias? Nancy Pelosi nice?
What?
Hold their head spinning on their accent.
Again.
I not know how to spell cognitive dissonance.
I do have an issue with this because I don't think it's as innocent as it may seem.
His seat must be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's Oklahoma. I don't know if his
seat's but
in
I mean,
trouble.
Here's the party is, and they've been playing up this idea that the Republicans are going to gain seats no matter what, and that they've been pushing that meme because that's historically the case. It was a very unhistorical kind of election cycle, the last two. So in particular, they're afraid that they're going to have to vote for financial reform. Coming into the election, because that bill's coming up, and that's the most indefensible position so far. And they know that they're going to have to vote for this, so they've got to start pushing this meme right now that we can agree on some things, we just don't believe on Obamacare.
He actually took Fox to task for perpetuating the notion that Americans will be imprisoned for failing to purchase health insurance under the new law. So, I know, they were just like,
the person who's been pushing that the most is that douchebag Steve Ducey on Fox and Freaks.
Steve Ducey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is very similar to when McCain had to walk back that woman about him being a Muslim.
Yes, right.
The crazy,
he's a family man, ma'am. He's not a Muslim. Okay.
That's not possible. Right.
Kim in Columbus, hello.
Hey, being from Ohio, I feel like I need to apologize for John Boehner and
Thank
the election of 04 and now.
Hell, you can't!
Thank you. You can't. You can't apologize for
Ohio. Hell, no, you can't!
You're not allowed to.
Your boner has lasted more than 4 hours, and we appreciate it if you would, see somebody about that.
I just want to say that I work for the government. I'm a case manager for social services. My clients love sitting out in the waiting room for 5 hours to get these benefits so they could be a permanent underclass. I can tell you that this health care bill is something needed. Real quick, I had a client who had HIV, and they said that wasn't debilitating enough to even give him insurance.
Wow.
So, to me, it's not about being a permanent underclass. No one wants to be here and have to do this. It's just a needed thing.
Right. Yep, I hear you. Good call. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah, that's the one thing. They're fine with casting that crowd off. They think that people really want, it's almost like, they're big on fetuses. We know this.
Right.
But if a kid is stupid enough to be born to poor parents, he deserves whatever he gets.
And you're on your own.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. What's the thing Randy Rhodes always says? I forget.
If you're,
let the fetus hate the child.
Right.
41 after. Okay. Joe. I love my Randy.
Yeah.
Joe in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Joe. Hello, Joe.
Nope. Oh, well. Joe, he's driving. He's focusing on driving, which we applaud him for.
Yes.
Joe has Bluetooth me. Okay. Let's
go. He looks really cool with his headset on. No doubt.
James in Quebec. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, James.
Hey, hello. Hey, way to go on the Monty Python reference, by the way.
Yeah. People in the chat room, by the way, caught that and were texting lines and were writing lines from the movie right after.
It's the classic of classics. I just wanted to let you guys know, I am a Canadian, and in terms of health care, look, it may not be the best thing in the world, but I tell you, there's a hell of a lot of dignity. I come from a family, I'm the 10th of 11 kids.
Wow.
Catholic. You never have to ask a question when you go into an ER. I mean, you just hand over your card and you get served.
Right.
And right now I'm living in a small town, and, we don't have all access to all the specialists of a major center. But by the same token, it's something that you take for granted, and it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why so many people are up in arms about all of this, because it's actually a great system.
Mm-hmm. It's a baseline. It provides you with a certain level of protection and safety that's always there.
Right.
If you want more, you can purchase more.
Right.
You can actually add on to it. But
and
And I don't understand your southern redneck caller from earlier saying that this is going to cost you guys an arm and a leg. It's going to be the opposite. Because what I don't get, look, my wife is a specialist. She's an OBGYN here in a small town. And makes an incredible salary. I'm an English teacher in a small community college. So, I mean, it's like we compare salaries. It's a joke. But, I mean, you don't have to make $1 million a year, you know, to be well off.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. How much do you possibly need? It's insane. It's mm-hmm. absolutely insane. And
I'm guessing that many, many comedians watching this healthcare debate have said, and you know what I'm going to say, right? What's that all about?
Yeah. No, look, actually, not all of us speak that way.
The newbies.
That's what you think. That's what, it's so cute. You guys always think that, and then you go, did I just say a boot? I did. And that's fine.
I'm completely against that, literally.
You guys speak English
I'm
and
just those
French.
Characters
you're already
on,
smarter.
On South Park, I just want to trick someone into saying a boot so I can laugh like a mature little American twit that I am.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. On this point that right wingers are now figuring out that anything they don't like is unconstitutional, and say that, you know, right. The individual mandate is unconstitutional because the federal government has never before required a citizen to purchase something from a private group. The Second Militia Act of 1792, which was passed and signed, required citizens to either possess or go out and buy at their own expense a musket, ammunition, mm-hmm. knapsack, bayonet, etc., so they could be ready to be called up. And apparently there weren't, you know, T-tards out there screaming that, you know, the Congress equals Hitler and stuff at that time.
Oh, no.
That's, you've started a new word. It's going to catch on.
Start a meme.
The Stephanie Miller Show does
not support that
publicly
word, even though I'm typing it into the chat right now.
Although we will be using that word during the commercial break.
Exactly, a lot.
But we do encourage the buying of your own musket.
That's right.
Okay, 45 minutes. That reminds me, I need to polish my bayonet.
Where's my flip-flop? Ooh. Hold on, stretch for a little bit, please.
Right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Richard Wolff, yes. Reporter extraordinaire, and Craig Crawford, political pundit extraordinaire, both join us
and
to go over.
Someone you booked earlier this morning for there in the studio.
Nice. Oh, Katrina from Katrina and the Waves.
Yes!
who will briefly be walking on sunshine tomorrow in studio here in New York.
Is she going to be asking you for money?
Shush.
Okay.
Play something different before she comes in.
Okay.
All right. Oh, and speaking of people that will not be on the Stephanie Miller Show, is Rebecca in here?
Yes, yeah. She is.
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
What? This is kind of exciting for me. Okay, so who did we try to book?
I tried to reach out to Alan Combs. I think he's a great guest.
Yeah,
so
he's been on fire lately, actually.
Yeah,
he's, really
he's
good.
Hilarious, yeah. You know, he's well-spoken, et cetera. Uh-huh. And I emailed him directly, because that's normally how I do it. And he wrote back, and he said, you have to ask Fox News permission for me to come on your show now. And
how'd that go?
So I thought, all right, I'll try it. And I emailed Fox, and they called me right back, and they said, no.
Computer says no.
And was there any reason offered?
No reason.
Other than that I'm
just Stephanie Miller. Other than it was the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So next time I reach out for him, I will not say that I'm affiliated with your show.
Just say it's someone else.
Exactly.
Right, someone else's show. Say it's the Eric Erickson Show.
Wow!
I'm banned by Fox. Okay, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for that.
Sure,
that's very exciting. I'm on the. What the Fox?
That's wild.
Wow! The Fox higher up said no.
That's you know.
What could I possibly have said that offended them?
Should we replay today's show and just start at the top?
Exactly.
That is going to be the name of my autobiography. Was it something I said?
Okay. In light of that, I wonder if Tom Coburn is now banned from Fox News for saying unkind things about them.
I don't know. Yeah. Can tell. All right. Perhaps it's that I've been saying Sean Hannity is no Reagan conservative. Like Julian Cielo writes, dear staff, someone please tell Hannity, Ronald Reagan's Fed chairman, Paul Volcker, thinks the federal government should raise taxes to pay off the gigantic $8 trillion deficit left behind by George Bush. He also thinks a carbon tax on energy sounds like an excellent idea, as do most of us who don't want the entire planet's climate turned upside down by global warming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Curious, Bat. What do you know?
Oh, right. Audrey in Phoenix. Hello, Audrey.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi,
guys. Go ahead.
Hiya.
I don't know if you remember me. I'm the official debut novelist of the debut novelist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It would have sounded better if I'd gotten it out right.
That's all right.
You're a writer, not a talker. It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Apparently that's true.
You're of the written, not the spoken word,
yes.
Audrey.
Yes, I do. But I win awards for the writing, so I'm pretty proud of that.
All right. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, I was really interested in the woman who called a little while ago talking about what the Republicans will run on, that they'll just then make believe, issues about the bill. And I think she's absolutely right, but I think she only hit half the issue. I think they'll run on this notion of how the government has taken over health care and, you just haven't seen it yet. And the Democrats will say nothing in response. And that's the part that really bothers me. They won't say, well, look, here are the good things that did go into effect, and here's how your life has improved. And, by the way, they just want to take money from the health insurance industry and not do well for you, and they would like you to give back your donut hole money or whatever.
Right.
They won't say anything, and that's
well, I hope that's not the case, Audrey, because you're right. I mean, unfortunately, even though we've won, we got to keep fighting this fight every day. You know.
This is actually the Obama winning was actually a beginning salvo of a shift in a very positive sense. But I mean, when you've got the other side, they're literally making arguments like the government is trying to take Obama is trying to take over the federal student loan program.
Right.
With a straight face. Yeah. They're trying to take over a federal program. They're planning a takeover, a government takeover.
Jim,
I mean, you can't.
Yeah, I know.
You're at the
Jim,
head.
Another Republican does not like the way Michael Steele rolls, apparently. one of New Hampshire's RNC members resigned, blasting the National Republican Party's out-of-touch free-spending culture in a message to RNC chairman Michael Steele. He said the recent scandal involving RNC funds being used to entertain a small crowd at a Los Angeles strip club is the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah, it is kind of hilarious that they're running, and Michael Steele trying to cozy up to the Tea Party about, bashing out-of-control spending, and they're spending $2,000 a night for simulated sex? What the hell kind of fiscal conservative is that?
Well, we know they're bad consumers. We know that.
Yes.
Right.
So
exactly. By the way, a Gallup poll shows the percentage of Americans viewing the Tea Party movement favorably, 37%. The percentage of Americans with a positive image of socialism, 36%. So we're, about even.
And most people don't know what either are talking about. That's the
By the way,
part.
In news. Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell has issued a proclamation that quietly declared April 2010 Confederate History Month.
Why did he have to do it quietly?
Because he left out
bringing back a designation in Virginia that his two Democratic predecessors refused to do.
Because it disregards slavery as a reason for the Civil War, and he says it wasn't germane to the
Did he not think this would get out?
No, they
did he not think that
Stephanie Miller
might mention it? All right, well,
keep in mind this is where the mining disaster is happening. The political choices being made in Virginia.
That's West Virginia.
I'm sorry,
West
but that area.
West Virginia.
No, do not confuse West Virginia and Virginia.
West Virginia.
That whole region has an issue.
You remember in the 2008 race, Carly Fiorino said that neither John McCain nor Sarah Palin could run a major corporation? Oh, dear. But now she's getting that all-important John McCain endorsement in California, where he lost by 24 points. That'll turn things around. He said, I think she's eminently qualified to serve in the United States. He said she's an inspiring, great American success story. If your idea of success is running a major corporation into the ground and then leaving with a golden parachute,
yeah,
then
right.
then yes, good for you. Well, I don't get it, how whether it's her or George Bush, how is it that you do disastrously badly at business and you're considered a business person?
Right. Yeah, because like, you got cred. It's like it's like getting divorced and people going, well, at least you were married once.
Yeah, at least you're not afraid of commitment.
Yeah. What? I've been married 3 times. I'm not afraid of commitment. I just don't follow through with any of it.
I want to do it again and again and
again. Absolutely.
Keith in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi,
welcome.
I just want to make a quick point. All these right-wing callers that are calling saying they can get by without the government, like the right-wing guy that called said this health care thing is going to create a permanent dependent underclass. They couldn't go out there and make it on their own. If you know, are they out building their own roads? I don't think so.
Right.
If they were dropped out in the woods, if wolves didn't eat them the first night, they'd die of exposure.
Put out their own fires.
Exactly. They couldn't make it on their own. They couldn't take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. They couldn't.
You always bring it back to Mary Tyler Moore.
I do. Magically, it comes full circle.
It's an incredible scale. It really is.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Hal Sparks, Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.